Good evening and welcome to Council Connection for the month of April. This month, we highlight our annual BSCB Spring Conference, which was held at the Burlington Marriott on March 8th through the 10th of this year. Kim Charlson will introduce this year's award recipients. Karen Santiago will tell us about a unique newsletter. We'll hear from our banquet speaker, and we'll start with introductions. I'm Steve Dresser from Reading.
Tim Cummings from Brighton.
And hi, everybody. I'm Rick Morin, and thanks, everybody, for registering and paying, and everything went quite well with registration this year. Thank you.
Jennifer Harnish from Natick.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sharon Strakowski from Worcester, and I'm the president of our Central Mass chapter.
I'm Diana Leonard. I'm from North Reading, and I'm on the board of Bay State.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daisy Russell, president of the Bay State Council of the Blind Students and board member for Guide Dog Users in Massachusetts.
Corey Cadlick, Natick, Mass. I'm on the Pubs Committee Board, and I'm doing social media today.
John Smith from Quincy.
Jeanette Kutash from Quincy.
Nina Kagan from West Roxbury, and I am the auction coordinator.
Kyle Richardson, Brighton.
I'm Deanne Elliott from Cambridge. I'm the legislative chair.
David Kingsbury from Stoughton, first vice president and chairman of the publications committee.
Jeff Harris from Brighton.
Gerard Boucher from Haverhill, Mass., representing the Blind and Veteran Association.
Linda Faust. I live in Sudbury, Massachusetts. I moved here from Florida 6 months ago, and this is my first convention here.
David Morrison. I'm MAB coordinator for the Watertown group that meets at Perkins Talking Books Library, second Friday of each month.
Ellen Dorgan from Scituate, Massachusetts, and I am a low vision coordinator for the Hingham group.
Jeff Thompson from West Roxbury.
Jeannie Fairley from Newton, and I'm the vice president of the Guide Dog Users of Massachusetts.
Betty Soderholm from Needham.
Ellen Soderholm from Needham.
Ray Campbell from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, secretary of ACB.
Karen Campbell, Glen Ellyn, Illinois, chair of the SASE committee.
My name is Robert Minus. I'm a visitor, and I'm enjoying myself so far. Thank you very much.
Howard Sumner from Bedford.
Nona Heroyan from Worcester.
Mary Heroyan, director of BSCB and member of the Central Mass chapter.
Joe from Medford.
Melissa from Cambridge.
Shirley Dobson from Randolph.
Louise Beach, blind grandmother whose grandchildren think I have eyes in the back of my head.
Ryan DeMincy, Hyde Park, Massachusetts. Elizabeth Ann Johnson, Cambridge, and I invited Robert Miners today. He's a veteran, war veteran.
Bonnie Adams from Brookline.
Kathy Devon from Quincy.
Roz Nadler from Arlington. I'm in the Boston chapter.
Rick Chairman from Cambridge.
Chris Devon from Quincy, Massachusetts, president of the South Shore chapter of BSCB.
Jessica Barr from Quincy, Massachusetts, secretary of the South Shore chapter.
Ann Donna from Watertown, president of the Charles River chapter.
Jim Donna from Watertown.
Jerry Barrier, BSCB secretary from Watertown and volunteer coordinator.
T.C. Brazil from Boston, a member of the Charles River chapter and the Boston chapter.
Hi, my name is T.C. Brazil David. I am from Boston, and I live in Boston.
Ellen Telker, Milford, Connecticut.
And I'm Kim Charlson. I live in Watertown and very proud to be president of the American Council of the Blind.
Kristen Lee from Watertown.
I'm Cheryl Cummings from Brighton.
I'm Lori. I'm the mic runner, and I'm here with my husband, Charlie, and we're sighted guides here if anybody needs anything today.
An impressive group of folks attending our BSCB Spring Conference, don't you think? One of the highlights of our Spring Conference is the annual awards ceremony. Here's Award Committee Chairman Kim Charlson to introduce this year's recipients.
I have to say that the awards process this year ended up
being a little more abbreviated than in past years. I think you had about 8 or 9 days to get your nominations in. But you know what? We had more nominations this year than we have had in the last 4 years combined. So, you know, I think we learned something. If we give you too much time, it goes to the bottom of your email pile, and you forget about it. If we don't give you that much time, you do it right away. So we have a strategy now. So we did get a lot of really good nominations. And I first of all want to recognize the other two members of the committee for their assistance and support. Mary Heroyan from Worcester and Jerry Barrier from Watertown. So we're recognizing 4 entities, individuals or organizations. 3 of them will be honored here this evening. The 4th will be honored at a later date because they were not able to be here. So, but I'm still going to have Mary come up and say a few words about them. So we are going to start with the Betty Gazagian Advocacy Award. And that award is presented to an individual who is a member of our organization, and they are recognized for their advocacy contribution in some area that we felt was exceptional. So I'm going to turn it over to Jerry, and he's going to make the presentation of our first recipient.
Good evening, everybody. It's my honor to talk about someone who I honestly don't know real well, but I did some digging, and I found out some things about him. I understand he did some cooking for a while. He worked in a bank. He started as a teller and ended up as a senior vice president. He became an eBay power seller, I think, after he became legally blind, which happened in 1991. He also currently manages the Accessibility Services group at the Carroll Center for the Blind, where he attended a course back in, I believe it was 1998. What he does is helps agencies to know what they need to do to make their websites and their other public content more accessible. And I know that he does very well at that. After becoming legally blind, he didn't just sit down and do nothing. Along with these other things, he became a blind sailor, and I understand does pretty well at that. He served for 9 years on the Needham Disability Commission on Disabilities, being a resident of Needham. And he is also, this is where I know him from, really, other than as a BSCB member, he is the chair of the Rehabilitation Council, which oversees or monitors the Mass Commission for the Blind. And I happen to serve on that council representing BSCB, so I've had a chance to listen to him and observe. And to be the chair of the Rehab Commission, it's not a matter of just running meetings. You have to be conversant with all of the issues. You have to be able to negotiate and to speak to a wide variety of people, including discussing things with the commissioner, with other agencies, and he does a wonderful job of that, I must say. He does, I don't think anyone could do any better, actually. So, Bruce Howe, I'd like to ask you to come up. Before I turn it over to Bruce for a speech, I'm going to read the, shall I read the plaque in Braille? I got it. The Bay State Council of the Blind Betty Gazagian Advocacy Award, presented to Bruce Howe in recognition of his dedication, advocacy, and hard work on all aspects surrounding information access and web accessibility, and the important role of rehabilitation services in opening the path to employment and independence for all people who are blind or visually impaired in Massachusetts. Burlington, Massachusetts, March 9, 2019. Bruce?
There you go. If you'd like to say a few words, here's the microphone.
Well, thank you very much, Kim, Jerry, Mary, and all of Bay State Council and all of you in the room. I really feel like anybody in this room is probably deserving of this award. We're all advocates in our own way. I've tried to model what I think is important for those of us that are able and capable of doing this in various ways, starting with just the way I listen and talk with people one-on-one, because I think we're all pretty much like everybody else in the world. We just can't see. And it's important that people understand that, know what we're capable of, that we have value, we have things that we can say, and we have self-worth. And every time we have an opportunity to do that and share that with people, whether it's one-on-one or in advocacy with legislators or in the kind of work that you choose to do if you're working, you are modeling advocacy for the blind. So thank you for this honor. And again, this is your honor as well, because any of you would be deserving of this as well. I give the microphone also. Right
okay,
there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Bruce. All right. Now we're going to do the Community Access Awards. So the first one, there are two of these this year. The first one I'm going to present, and then Mary will follow. And the recipient of this award was nominated by multiple individuals. Passionate nominations for an organization that's certainly near and dear to my heart, and I'm sure to many of you who value access to theater, value access to cultural activities, and value audio description. We're very blessed in the Boston area to have so many wonderful cultural access institutions that provide wonderful access to us. And sometimes it's almost too much, because we have to make sure that there's blind people going to all these things. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen. They're going to start saying, well, we did it, but no one came. So don't get Brian started, because he'll tell you, Kim's got me going to another theater event this weekend. Kim's got me going to another theater event, because I'm so passionate about making sure that theaters believe that this is important to all of us. And I know it's important to so many of you as well, which is why this award means so much to me, and I think it means a lot to you as well. BSCB has been working on a project, updating their website over the last several months, and David Kingsbury asked me to compile, you know, some historical information about all the award recipients as far back as I could go. So he came to a librarian because he wanted, you know, historical data that was accurate, right? Thank you. Okay. So I did that, and once I sent him my full report, which is now available on our website, which is wonderful because you can see all the awards back to, I think, 2005 in all the different categories, he specifically said, why isn't this organization, when did they get an award? When did you left them out? And I said, no, I didn't. They haven't been nominated. And he said, well, that's an oversight. And he was very outraged, you know. And I said, Well, we've got the awards process coming up. Let's see what happens. Well, there you go. We had three nominations for this organization. And the lady that makes it all happen. So, the organization that I'm very pleased to recognize, first of all, is the Huntington Theater Company. They do a tremendous job, but in my view, it's the woman that really makes it happen, and that is Meg O'Brien. She is phenomenal. And Meg, would you come forward to get your award? She just makes everything so seamless. When you go to the Huntington Theater, they have discounted tickets. She has Braille programs. They check on you. She makes you feel like a princess or a prince. You know, it's wonderful to go there. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg, so I'm expecting all of you to go to their next show and just overwhelm her with lots of praise and wonderfulness because she deserves it all. She is great. So, Meg? Uh-oh. So I'm going to read the plaque. The Community Access Award presented to the Huntington Theater Company and Meg O'Brien in recognition of the commitment and dedication to the provision of groundbreaking accessibility programs that include audio description and special format playbills for theatergoers who are blind or visually impaired. Burlington, Massachusetts, March 9th, 2019. Meg, congratulations. You are so welcome.
Hi, everyone. I won't take too long. I just want to thank you all so much for this. I've been at the Huntington Theater Company now for about 10 and a half years, and Kim quite literally has been next to me, I think, every step of the way. And Brian and Nina and Frank and so many people that I'm seeing tonight who have become friends and theatergoers with me over the years. I feel very lucky to do this work, but I also feel like it's an obligation. And so it's easy work because I want everyone to experience theater. And I want everyone to experience what we have to offer at the Huntington. And I'm so excited to be here tonight to celebrate with everyone. The dinner was delicious. And so I'm also extending a big thanks on behalf of everyone that I work with at the Huntington Theater Company. We have an access committee now that is interdepartmental, and everyone is so passionate about it. So we're getting a new building in a few years, so it will be even easier for everyone to come and enjoy the art that we have. So thank you, everyone, so much. This means more than I think I can express. So thank you.
Great. You are so welcome.
Thank you so much.
All right. Mary, can you come forward? And Meg is here this evening with her husband, Matt. And I told him he had really good taste because we love her too. So. So, okay, all right. I'm going to turn the mic over to Mary.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Our next Community Access Award winner. So this year we have two. Unfortunately, they were not able to be here. Our winner is the Greater Boston Legal Services, Dan Manning and Alexa Rosenblum, who have worked with BSCB on a number of advocacy issues. As our legislative chair, Deanne Elliott, says, it takes a village to create accessibility. It takes the commitment and action of private companies, the support of our issues on the part of lawmakers, and people with disabilities to advocate. And sometimes it takes a lawyer to move things along. And Dan Manning, who's the director of litigation at Greater Boston Legal Services, has been a strong supporter in working with BSCB. Greater Boston Legal Services helped lead the structured negotiation process with Mass Eye and Ear Infirmary that led to real improved access for people who are blind and visually impaired in accessing services at Mass Eye and Ear. And they remain involved even now in the five-year implementation part of the agreement. Dan and Greater Boston Legal Services have been very generous with their providing information and referrals to BSCB and the Legislative Committee, and they do this at no cost to BSCB. They also, in 2017, Dan, along with BSCB and Guide Dog Users of Massachusetts, sent a letter to the City of Cambridge to resulting in changes to taxi ordinances. And so now, resulting in better access for people and their guide dogs and utilizing taxi services. So, as you can see, Greater Boston Legal Services has been a real ally with BSCB in working with us in helping to improve the lives and the quality of living for people with vision loss. We certainly hope in the very near future to have a more formal award ceremony so that we can present this to Greater Boston Legal Services. Both Dan and Alexa had family commitments this weekend, but we're very appreciative of knowing that they had received this award. So thank you to Greater Boston Legal Services.
All right. And our final award is the Outstanding Service Award, which is the highest honor that BSCB can bestow and recognize on someone who is truly making a difference in the Commonwealth. And this year I'm very proud to recognize a woman who is somewhat new on the Massachusetts scene, but certainly is not new to advocacy and making a difference. Since 2017, Sassy Outwater Wright has been the director of the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, a nonprofit that specializes in serving blind and low vision adults, especially those aging into vision loss. Prior to that time, she was with MAPV and started the program we now know as the Vibrant Program. As background about Sassy, it's very interesting. She grew up in Southern California and Arizona. She lost her sight in early childhood to retinoblastoma, a rare childhood cancer of the eye. Her cancer returned when she was 25, and she has since faced multiple brain surgeries and brain tumors. She grew up in a Middle Eastern household, immersed in different cultures, languages, and religions. She entered college with the dream of becoming a veterinarian, but studied British literature and music, and wound up falling in love with the physics of music along the way. The physics of microphones became her career, and Sassy made her vocal debut in Carnegie Hall at the age of 20, and has sung across the United States, Canada, and Europe, and has sung with or recorded artists in a variety of genres, from Andy Williams to Joshua Bell to Maroon 5 and Gavin DeGraw to Alison Krauss and John Rutter. She plays harp, fiddle, cello, piano, and is a jazz vocalist, composer, and producer. She studied acoustic physics, audio engineering, and vocal performance at Arizona State University. As a totally blind acoustician, and I certainly hope I pronounced that correctly, and audio engineer. She found the music industry largely inaccessible technologically and set out to change it, establishing the first collegiate program to teach recording sciences and music technology to blind musicians at Mesa College. That set her on a double career path, working in acoustics and physics of microphone technology and in disability accessibility and advocacy. She has spent 16 years in the digital accessibility fields, since then consulting for small businesses, making products and services digitally accessible. Sassy's background is in user experience, and she specializes in how persons with multiple disabilities interact with technology, assistive and mainstream, and how inclusive design can facilitate a better user experience with for those with more than one chronic condition or disability. She has worked with companies in the entertainment, retail, fitness, publishing, travel, hospitality, arts, and healthcare industries, among others, helping make their brands, products, and services accessible to people with disabilities. She has specialized in the intersectionality of disability and gender, working with women with disabilities around how technology plays a role in the issues such as domestic violence, sexual violence, healthcare access, and body image. Sassy sits on the board of directors of the World Eye Cancer Hope USA and has been a patient advocate for children and families with rare pediatric cancer for 19 years. She is studying to become an interfaith clinician care hospice chaplain and trauma event response advocate. She has lectured on disability and assistive technology and disability and sexuality and healthcare for Harvard School of Engineering, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and at multiple World Pediatric Oncology and Disability Studies conferences. Sassy lives in Salem, Massachusetts with her husband and her guide dog. When not advocating, rehearsing, writing, or sleeping, she enjoys reading science fiction and fantasy, cooking, skiing, yoga, sailing, evading brain surgeons. She is devoted to all things tea, chocolate, and Labrador. And now that I've read you that, I feel like I have to sit down and hide my head because what have I done, you know? Sassy, it's an honor to recognize you with the BSCB Outstanding Service Award. You'd come forward. All right, I'm going to read the plaque, and then I'll let Sassy say a few words. It'll be twice as long as her introduction, so get ready, okay? presented to Sassy Outwater Wright in recognition of her leadership and management of the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired for her personal advocacy, genuine empathy, and determination to provide opportunities that foster independence for people with vision loss in Massachusetts, Burlington, Massachusetts, March 9th, 2019. Congratulations, Sassy. Good step forward, and here's the handheld.
Thank you. Kim found my long-form bio. Goodness gracious. Usually those multiple career paths don't have to appear in the same presentation, but it paints the picture of who I am as a person in that I started in one thing and realized that disability advocacy needed my attention, and I couldn't look away from it. It took over the rest of my life, and it still does, because as Bruce said, we are all advocates, and we find where we fit in. And the main thing that I have learned in serving this community is that we are one community. Anybody with vision loss is part of that community, but then there are further needs within that community. There are further marginalized groups within that community. Whether you are a college student who needs transition help, whether you are a blind student in K through 12 who needs help, whether you are a working age adult needing voc rehab assistance, whether you are a senior who is retiring and just now losing your vision who needs adjustment support, whether you are a person of color, whether you are LGBTQ, whether you are facing multiple disabilities, whether you are a guide dog user or a white cane user or none of the above, whatever the additional complexity is that you're facing in addition to your vision loss, you need and deserve support. And support does not look the same for all of us. It's different for every single one of us. So the working theory that I've been using to run MAVV is there's no one right way to do vision loss. There's your way, and we're here to support you in that. So as I walk away tonight after this incredible honor, first I want to thank BSCB for this. I was sitting at AFB Leadership Conference when Jerry called me, and my mouth just fell open. Because I don't serve necessarily to find recognition. I serve to make a difference to just one person, and if I can come away from doing my job each day knowing that I've done something to help someone, that I have the best job on the earth. So thank you to everyone who supports me in doing that job. Mary, I love you. And thank you to my extraordinary husband who supports me. And is my strategist, and is the bigger part of my brain, and is the one who takes care of me, and then this work takes me down. He picks me back up and puts me back on my feet and keeps me going. And thank you to the entire community who surrounds all of us and supports each other. We do for each other. We take care of each other. And we raise the voices of our own to be our own leaders. That is our work now, to continue to raise our own voices to be our own leadership, and to support us no matter what additional marginalized groups we fall into within this singular community. Thank you so much. There's more work to do. Let's go do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. There's a plaque is there, right here. There you go.
Thank you very much.
And the box. Thank you, Sassy, and congratulations. You know, your successes are our successes, and congratulations. So that concludes the awards presentations for this year. Again, thank you to my committee, and enjoy the rest of the evening.
You're listening to Council Connection. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. You can hear our show on the Talking Information Center Network, ACB Radio Mainstream, on the BSCB Fillmore Box, or you can visit our archive at www.acbfma.org. The Blind Perspective is a monthly newsletter which has over 1,200 subscribers. Karen Santiago, the editor, stopped by our Friday afternoon session to tell us more about this unique offering.
About 5 years ago, a friend and I got together and we were trying to think of something to do. We wanted to kind of give back to the blind community. So we thought of doing a newsletter. And he chose the name The Blind Perspective. At first, I didn't like it, but it stuck, and I like it, and it really is what the newsletter is all about, since all of our writers are blind or visually impaired themselves. So the way we started this is we got together with a lot of our friends and colleagues and asked them to write for us. All the writers are volunteers, and the way the newsletter is formatted, I also write, besides editing, I write The Movers and Shakers, and that is a segment about either somebody I have interviewed, whether it's a person or somebody affiliated with the company, who has developed or is developing a product or service for the blind community. I will say one of the most favorite articles I wrote, both by me and by the subscribers, was one I did. I did a three-part segment on the Perkins School. My daughter and I went for a tour. I think we were only supposed to be there for an hour. We were there for three. It was so much fun. And I just enjoyed writing it, and the subscribers obviously enjoyed reading it. I also write The International Perspective, another favorite segment. And this is where I interview somebody from another country to find out what life is like as a blind person. And it's very enlightening. It puts a real big perspective on things. It's pretty sad interviewing some people when they really don't have any assistance or support. And I've done countries from A to Z, Algeria to Zimbabwe, but I'm always looking for more. And I haven't done the state of Massachusetts, so if anybody wants to be interviewed, just let me know. We also have Danny. He's from Michigan. He writes the Exercise Does a Body Good. He was a former physical therapist, and he's great at describing exercises, how to do them, what they're good for, variations, and he also includes a health tip. Then there's Carla Jo. She is a perfect person for Have I Got a Story for You. Don't know anybody else who has read so many stories. She is very passionate about this. She has even, I believe it was last year, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, she reached out to the RNIB and the CNI, both UK and Canada, and was able to get on their library database. So when she's reviewing a book, she'll look up and see if it's in there too, and she'll put that in her article as well. Then there is Nat, and he is from British Columbia, Canada. He is the other person I spoke of getting this launched, The Blind Perspective. And he is the person behind the scene. He's the one who does all the webmaster stuff. And he's also the author of The Blind Perspective, the Braille Highway. He has his own business on the side, so he does Braille transcribing. And his article, of course, is all about Braille. Then we have Lindy. Lindy reached out to us. We were looking for somebody to do an arts and craft article. She's from South Africa, and she does Kaleidoscope of Craft. And she does all sorts of craft projects. She, like Danny, is very descriptive in her article. And I don't know if they're on the table, but I made these origami bookmarks, and that was in one of her articles. And that was just a four-step project, so feel free to take the bookmark home. There might be a piece of paper on there folded with a bookmark on it so you know how it works. It's a corner bookmark. So that's just an example of one of the arts and craft projects. We also have Tammy from Minnesota. She's fairly new. She writes a guide dog journey, all about guide dogs. There is Cheryl. She's from Florida. I call her the gadget lady. She writes Spencer's Spotlight, and that is all about different gadgets and gizmos. And it doesn't always pertain to blind-related devices. It's other items that are, you know, easy for blind people to use, blind-friendly. And we have the Technically Speaking. That is Darren from Idaho. He writes all about the iPhone. And Jim from Florida. He writes all about the PC. We have a couple new people. Sue from Alabama. I became friends with her through the Hadley School. And she approached me because she just became a garden master. And she asked if I would be interested in having an article about planting. And I said, of course. So she writes A Time to Plant. Then we have Manny. He's very new. He's from California. He was a janitor at a high school before he lost his sight, so he writes all about different types of cleaning. And if you are a subscriber already and read this month, you would see his article is called From Super Bowl to Toilet Bowl. So he kind of makes a little humor in his articles. His tagline is Dirty Work but Clean Fun. We have Christy. She's also new. She's from Virginia. And she was a sponsor for this perspective a few months ago. And she's a Mary Kay consultant, so that's what she was sponsoring. And I reached out to her and asked her if she wanted to do a couple little tips, beauty tips, skin care tips. So she does, and her article is called The Beauty Parlor. And we also have Alex. Alex is the author of the Riddles and Brain Buster, which a lot of people tell me they go to first and then read the articles. Alex is not a man like most people think. Alex is a woman from Arizona. There is Maxine, and she's from Montana. She writes the cooking concoctions, and that's all recipes. And if you submit a recipe, we'll publish that as well. And the way you can get the blind perspective is to subscribe and get it in your inbox. And I know everybody gets lots of emails. This is not a chat list. You'll only get one email a month. Also, you can go to our website, theblindperspective.com. The current website's there. All the newsletters and all the articles are archived, so you can check that out. And it took a long time, perseverance and patience, but we were able to get on Newsline. And the way to do that is through the Massachusetts option. We have about over 1,200 subscribers, and I can only tell you that because that's how much we have through the online subscription, through the email. So I don't know how many people are going to the website or how many people are listening to it, but it's always growing, and we're always looking for more people to subscribe. We also have Teddy. He is our audio technician, and he has made the newsletter available in an audio format. So whether you get it online through your email or whether you go to the website, there is always a link there so you can just press a button and listen to it.
The question was, how long was the newsletter, Karen?
Well, it's the same. It has roughly 14 articles in it every month. And we've been doing this since, this is our fifth year. We're into our fifth year.
How long is each article?
Oh, I don't put a restriction on the authors. They're all doing this volunteer. What I do tell them is try not to put any fillers. It's not like school where you have to maintain so many pages and you put fillers. So the writers are excellent. And that's what makes this newsletter so good. It's the writers. They write about what they know or what they're really passionate about. And they just keep it strictly to their topic. I will help them if they can't think of a topic to write, but usually I don't have to. They're out there writing their own thing. And another thing that I like about this newsletter is it's not copy and paste. You won't find this stuff somewhere else. And I will also say it's a lot of stuff in the newsletter. It's a long newsletter, and you might not read everything, but there's something in there for everyone.
Thank you very much, Karen. Big warm hand for Karen.
Sounds like some interesting reading in The Blind Perspective. I hope you'll check it out. To end Council Connection for the month of April, let's hear from our banquet speaker. Here's Brian Charlson to introduce her.
Early on, when WGBH, who had pioneered captioning for the deaf, said, you know, we're leaving out an important part of our community, the blind. And one of the individuals who was involved in making that possible is our speaker this evening. Now, one thing that she and I have in common is a belief in the value of distance learning. We are proud that we had an opportunity to assist the Perkins School for the Blind in the earliest days of their adventure, but they've had the financial resources and the determination to make distance learning something that helps our community. So I would ask that you please welcome this evening's speaker, who is responsible for distance learning at the Perkins School for the Blind, Robin Sitton.
Thank you
very much. Good evening, everybody. And I really do thank the membership and the leadership of BSCB and for Frank and the conference committee. And, of course, to my good friend and colleague, Jerry Barrier, who approached me about being here tonight. A few years ago, you honored my good friend and colleague, Vince Lombardi, at this podium. And I came with him. And as my usual way, I sat in the sidelines and said nothing. So it really is an honor to be with you tonight. So many of you I have known for almost as long as the Charlestons have been here. I've been in Boston for 30 years. And that's most of my adult life. So to have the opportunity to be with you all tonight and to say something other than figure 3-1 appears on this page and is a line graph depicting the increase in real estate values, it has indeed been a lot of years. Brian couldn't get to all of it. I was on what was considered the B team at WGBH in the early days of descriptive video. I was not in the original group that was trained, but I worked there from 1996 to 2000, so we were there in the very early days. And this has mostly been an uncharted journey, if I'm honest. When one has an opportunity like this to look back on their own circuitous routes, a lot of things can seem like predictors. The course I thought I was charting for myself, like my own eyesight, never extended much farther than the end of my arm without correction, and most people will tell you, for the work that's immediately in front of me, I tend to take my glasses off. The first books I recall reading aloud were to my mother. She had a sewing room, which tells you how old I am, and she would let me sit and read while she worked. I say let because I don't recall that she ever asked me to. She certainly never told me to, and she would listen to whatever I was reading at the time, which couldn't have been very interesting for her, but it was a way for us to be together. And I don't suppose it lasted very long, but in the big picture, I got a taste for it. Cold reading is an unusual skill, and I learned it there in that sewing room, in my bedroom, in the SRA reading groups, which also tells you how old I am, and recitation assignments. I have to say, though, it was fine-tuned at Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, which is now known as Learning Ally, dragging people through Biology 101 since 1948. I'm just curious, by applause, if you used RFB, RFB and D, or Learning Ally through your school years, can we hear for you by applause? That was my very cheap ploy for applause, but thank you. That was the original distance learning, really, right there. As these former students and lifelong learners will attest, a single text is never read by a single reader, and rarely did we know what we were walking into that night. I've often compared sight reading to reading music, though that is not a skill that I have myself. But the discovery of great writing as it is coming out of my mouth is what I imagine musicians experience when they sit down to a new piece that is truly great. And of course, we read a lot of dull stuff too. I have personally recorded the LMA style manual 3 times and no end of glossaries and bibliographies. And I'll be honest with you, I am not wistfully thinking of the student in their dorm room while I am droning through period, close parentheses. I was usually thinking of that poor typesetter who had to lay that out in the first place. There's always some poor joker whose job is bleaker than your own. The first semblance of a radio show I produced was at our neighborhood slumber parties on any given summer evening in the 1970s. I was obsessed with a portable Panasonic cassette recorder with an honest-to-God mic, just holding it in my hand like I am right now, like reporters have. And I would interview anyone about anything. I would wander the house recording odd sounds and then try to manipulate them with microphone tricks and buffers and overlays, which was not very easy with a portable Panasonic cassette recorder. And I was not very good at it. But the summer of sixth grade, the best summer of all times, my best friend Jenny and I launched a slumber party talk show we called Sleep Like a Baby, Snore Like an Old Man. where we poorly imitated the stars of the day, as well as fictional characters we wish we could meet, like Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. Because it was all the same to us as late-night talk show hosts. So by the time I joined Audio Journal as the armchair traveler, my interview style had not matured very much. But I knew how to mix sound effects records so that a soccer match plus a stampede could become a convincing rodeo for a piece on Calgary, Alberta. Now, the first film I ever described was Rocky, and I was 12 years old. Dun, 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 dun. Colossal capital letters, white on a black background, scroll past our view, one letter at a time. Dun, 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 dun. Rocky, words appear, November 25th, 1975, Philadelphia. I saw Rocky six times in the summer of 1976. And my best friend Jenny wondered what the attraction was. So one afternoon I told her the whole thing. Shot by gritty shot. Skate rink, eggs, stairs, box turtles. Cut me, Mick! Now, this is probably the part where you expect me to tell you that Jenny is visually impaired and this was the only way for her to enjoy the movies. But this is not that story. Jenny just didn't want to see a movie about boxing, and she didn't understand why I did. And I didn't either until I heard myself tell it to her out loud. I saw movies in an unusual kind of way. And it would be many more years before I realized this way had any kind of value. But all that I've just told you, deep in the experience of a tomboy in tough skins, was 20 years before I had the opportunity to do the work that serves this community, work I have now done 25 years. It feels accidental to have reached a place in my life where I can stand at this podium before some of the most accomplished people I know, many of whom barely know me at all, except for the sound of my voice, and feel that you consider me a part of this community, however deep in its shadows, because you don't go into the description business for the spotlight. We watch what you want to watch. We read what you want to read. And you trust us to chop through the visual noise and find the elements that are key. And I've been happy to be your partner in all these endeavors and will continue to be as long as you will have me. Voice technology is more prevalent now than we have known. Just a few years ago, we were marveling at being able to talk to our phones through VoiceOver and have them answer through Siri. And now we command our furnaces, our doorbells, our DVRs. We keep the dog company. And, of course, we send the occasional email. According to Publishers Weekly, audiobook revenue jumped 23% in 2017. 23% from the previous year. In a single year, to an estimated $2.5 billion. And get this, those sales are largely driven by libraries. Digital downloads are up over 30% in 2018. And according to Forbes magazine, are, quote, keeping the publishing industry afloat. So here in the Bay State, whether you borrow from the Perkins Library, the Worcester Talking Library, or your own public library, turn the page, who now lend Kindles and iPads, who subscribe to Hoopla, and who store playaways, you are, as always, the early adopters. Podcasting? Podcasting's old news to us. Oh, really? Long-form radio? Yeah, we know. But when Apple Podcasts hit their 50 billionth download, this month, a year ago this month, March of 2018, well, now everyone's interested. Now, television projects like Homecoming are being based on content that was originally a totally audible narrative. As Red Sox fans say in October, oh yeah, bandwagon's pulling up, hop on. Audio description is finally less a novelty and more an expectation. Meg, you spoke of it as an obligation. There is some beautiful work that's done in this state, in this city. And that beautiful work now being done on Netflix, thanks in part to this organization, including audio description in languages other than English. Digital downloads have shaped our museums and our tourist destinations. And ACB's audio description project and certification program continue to lift the bar higher, reminding us that the work is never done. Just this year, the French Confederation for the Advancement of Blind People instituted an award for outstanding description. When I worked at WGBH, we were not allowed to be called writers because the Writers Guild didn't know what to do with us. Now, of course, these technological advances support print disabilities of all kinds, people with ocular disabilities and spinal cord injuries, amputations, paralysis, brain injury. The estimated 30,000 recent veterans with blast injuries ready to return to work and to school. Technology also creates jobs for coders, linguists, braillists, narrators, sound engineers and designers, voice actors, Foley artists, musicians and composers, and of course the writers, poets and journalists and actors who create the content that these books and these films and these plays and these podcasts are all about. And let's hope that those jobs will be filled by skilled and talented individuals who also have disabilities. But listen, none of that is because of my voice. It is because of your voice. The collective voice of this community, formal and informal, which continues to call for the right to be fully included in the collective conversation, and which expects for that access to be excellent. In healthcare literacy, employment opportunity, educational access, transportation equity, in access to the ballot, legal counsel, safe housing, because of your leadership and mentorship and collaboration, you come together like this to ask, how do we enhance the quality of life of blind people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and beyond? My voice is only here to serve that mission and enjoy this fellowship. If one syllable of my voice in the past 25 years has been an enhancement, then I am here to humbly thank you for that opportunity. Thank you.
And with that, we come to the end of the April edition of Council Connection. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please leave us a message in the BSCB Fillmore box at 773-572-6312. I'm your host, Steve Dresser, inviting you to join us again in June when we return with another edition of Council Connection. Enjoy the spring and take care.